Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearce.
And me, Ben Hobson.
Today we're celebrating our 200th episode.
Hello!
By looking at some of the highlights from 2022 in the company of all the Runner's World team.
This is going to be absolute chaos.
So many mics.
Too many mics, too many people. So apologies now, yeah. But tough.
Actually, a few 200 themed bits. Because we did put the call out to people and said, you know, have you got any ideas for the 200th episode? And it should be like, can it be 200 themed? And actually, this is an interesting one. It was a... Running a marathon in 200 minutes is apparently a thing. So this is from listener Grace Cameron. She wrote in, I've been hearing more recently about people aiming for 200 in the marathon. And I had to look this up as I had no idea it was a thing. But it's a 200-minute goal, a new concept. She thinks it's quite a nice middle ground between 3:30 and 3 hours. Quite like that.
It took me an alarming amount of time to work out how much that was in hours.
It's a 3:20 marathon, isn't it? Yeah. It's a 3:20
I'm just waiting for someone else to figure it out.
But quite like it, maybe we could do a plan, the sub 200 plan.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Surely the sub 200 plan would have to be only in 200 meter reps as well.
Exactly. And the other one was apparently 200 miles in 24 hours. That's the 4 minute mile of the ultra world.
Okay.
I'm getting pretty close. The great Alexander Sorokin beat his own record at the 24 hour European Championships, running 198.6 miles in 24 hours.
Blimey.
I know.
That's like a car journey.
Yeah, it is. Hey, look, there's a quiz coming up when we go into what that actually is equivalent of. So stick around.
Listeners,
stick around for that.
Get ready.
Right, so we got everyone in because we want to talk about personal and general highlight of 2022. So
yes.
Who would like to start?
Not me. I haven't thought of any.
Okay. Jenny Bazon, maybe you could start.
I knew you were going to pick me first, Rick. I could just feel it. Okay, so I'm obviously going to talk about my 70.3. Sorry to bring this up again. But I would say running the half marathon and feeling like I got it in the bag. Because I've trained really hard and I'd questioned whether I was going to be able to do it. And I actually started running and felt really good. And I thought, I actually am going to do this. And then... I think then seeing my mum and dad and they were just screaming like, you look amazing, you're smashing it. And then I felt like I was winning. So yeah, it was just really, really nice and definitely a good memory.
That's good. I wonder how many personal highlights around this table will be races. Interesting.
Let's find out.
Later. What was your wider overarching professional running world?
Okay.
Moment?
Yeah, so I had a thought about this last night and it was definitely Jake Whiteman winning gold at the World Champs and watching his dad Jeff commentating and he was just so excited and obviously trying to remain impartial, but then you just see him put his hands in the air and then there was a video that sort of did the rounds on Twitter and you can see then his mum, Susan, running up to the commentary box and she's like got a flag around her arms and she's like, he's won. And yeah, it was just like a really, really lovely family moment.
That was a good one. That was a definite good one.
His dad really kept it together, didn't he? My dad would be going absolutely berserk. He's a professional to the end, isn't he? He was like, yeah. And he's won. Oh, that's good. Yeah, got a medal for Team GB there. Like, actually, no, it's your son winning the World Championship.
There's a good video of it, though, isn't it? Sort of like the physical actions that he's doing do not relate to his voice coming out.
Yeah.
So he's kind of like stood up and he's going, but the voice is kind of like, there's a great little effort there from Jake Whiteman.
I read afterwards that his mum was his PE teacher and Jeff used to do the commentary at his PE sports days. So he's had like lots of practice at remaining impartial.
Those big PE events.
Yeah. Right, I think we should go for Joe Mackey. A huge year of running for you, Joe, I'd say.
Hello. Well, huge, medium, I'd say. Yeah, medium. It's all relative, isn't it? It's all relative. I think personal highlight for me was running the Berlin Marathon. It'd been quite a long time since I'd run a marathon with COVID and everything, and big build-up. First time I run Berlin. Amazing race, amazing city. And I got a PB. Just going to sneak that in there. So, yeah, that was a great moment. I mean, hard to pick out one particular moment. The whole race was brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll go with that.
And you ran, what, 3:10, was it?
3:12.
3:12, yeah.
I was trying to run 3:10. So, yeah.
You have to go back, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, obviously loads of great bits along the course. And yeah, and I think there was also a moment at the end which kind of rolls into my more general highlight, because it was a race where, you know, I wasn't directly involved in this, obviously, but Eliud Kipchoge was a reasonable amount of time ahead of me, and he broke the world record. And although I didn't see it, I'm going to have it as my highlight, because there was a moment when I'd finished and I was, you know, sort of collapsed against a post, drinking a non-alcoholic beer and feeling sort of quite proud of myself and wondering how I was going to walk back. And the kind of news filtered through. I could hear people talking about it, and it just really brought home to me this amazing thing about running, that you can be involved in the event where this incredible athlete, I mean, the best marathon runner of all time, you would have to say, has broken the world record. And although I didn't see it, although I was a long way back, you know, I was actually involved in the same race and ran the same course as him on the same day. And, you know, as did all the other people around me and all their various different times. And that's a really special thing about running, I think.
Definitely, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're not going to get on the Formula One start grid, are you? But you can be on the same course as the great
Elite. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. You're not getting on the pitch for the World Cup games.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in running, you can line up on the same start line, and
albeit
a little bit later than they go over the line,
you cross
the same finish line.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's that thing, you know, there's the blue line at New York or wherever it is, and you can kind of see that's the racing line, and it's there in front of you. It's not like it's not separate. It's the elites follow it.
Yeah, same course, isn't it?
Same course.
Yeah.
And you can just sit there and go, yeah, there's the blue line. That's I can follow that too.
Yeah, and you may at one point have put your foot in exactly the same place as, you know, the guy's been breaking the world record in, you know, an hour or so before.
Yeah, it's incredible.
All right, I think we should go for the next highlight.
Let's do it. Who?
Let's go for Kate Carter.
Okay, what, my personal one or my...
Let's go personal first.
Okay, so I suppose, can I have sort of two, one is a race and one isn't a race?
You can literally do whatever you want.
Okay.
It's lawless here.
So race-wise, I had a really good summer of like good races, and I won a race, so that's got to be in there.
There we go.
Won the Dorking 10K, so that was fun, especially as it involves hills, and I don't like hills. So.
What was your prize? Wine, beer.
Cash.
Yes.
Even better.
Yeah.
And a little trophy thing as well.
Oh, good.
But apart from that, I was just thinking, because when you said, you know, I wonder how many of people will choose a race, I guess you crystallise your training or whatever around those moments. But actually, I'd have to say generally it's just kind of my group that I run with pretty much every Sunday, and just kind of the Sunday long runs where, you know, one week you're feeling great and you feel like you're pushing the pace, and the next week you feel absolutely dreadful and you're just clinging on to someone who's chatting away in your ear, you know, and just those sort of moments. I just really have appreciated them more than ever this year.
And what about in the wider world?
Well, this was tricky because I could like just get really, really geeky and about athletics and fair about. Have we got an hour and a half, in fact?
Keep it to around sort of 75 minutes.
Great. And then also shout out for my favourite, one of my favourite athletes who isn't a runner, but, you know, it's athletics, Mondo Duplantis, who's just like, you know, pole vault sensation. But my running moment would be, would actually be Laura Muir winning the bronze in Eugene at the World Championships, which might be weird because obviously she then went on and won gold in the Commonwealth. But the bronze in Eugene was, whenever I think about Laura Muir, I think she is kind of the running equivalent of Andy Murray, in that she is a generational talent who in any other era would win everything going. But as the sort of good luck, bad luck, whatever you want to call it, of being in an era where you've got two other people who are like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's like having Nadal and Federer up and so on. And she's got like Faith Kipyegon and Sege who are in that race. And the three of them in that race, I just watched it again this morning and it sends goosebumps down my spine. It's proper, like, slugfest of a race.
From the gun as well.
Gun to tape. I mean, it's just insane. And also, like, the other thing I love about Laura Muir is that it's my favourite moment in all of athletics, is the moment where Laura Muir's face changes in a race. Because that is when it's game on.
Yeah.
And you can see it. There's no other athlete who literally goes from, like, you know, calm poker face to bring it on. And I love that moment.
Yeah, I love that. Because a lot of great running, like Kipchoge, is very serene, isn't it? And you don't get a sense of how hard someone's trying.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think with Laura Muir, it's like, oh, wow, this is someone who really is like giving it 100% here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And they all kind of collapsed after that race and lay there for about 10 minutes. Yeah. It's like amazing.
Right, I think we should move on, Ben. Who's going to be next? You can choose.
You.
Oh, right. Personal highlight. I think this is a bit dull, but I think just running regularly again, because I had knee surgery.
Oh, man, I was going to say that. Jeez, come on.
Sorry, mate. So I looked down the barrel of, like, not running for a bit. And obviously, like, when you're going for, like, very minor surgery, like, the guy next to me was talking about his knee replacement and he was in so much pain he couldn't sleep and he was back again. And I started thinking, oh, my God, like, what if this goes wrong and I can't run again? And I thought, that's, like, a horrifying idea to look at. So obviously, it took a while to get back to it, maybe, like, 2 or 3 months. But just to go back to consistent running, did the half marathon with you, which was another highlight.
Thanks, mate.
But yeah, actually, it's a bit of a cliche, but it made me realise how much I rely on running, how much I want it to be like a consistent part of my life forever. Yeah. So actually just getting back to doing it with a renewed appreciation for it. That's that one. And then I think Kilian Jornet at UTMB, it's always been a race that I feel like I'm actually never going to do UTMB, but there's been times in my life where I'm like, I'm going to do UTMB, 100%. And he is... very much the sort of Kipchoge of mountain running, I think. And he's as consistent and has been winning for as long as possible. And what he did at UTMB, finishing under 20 hours for the first time, is astonishing. And he's also a really nice bloke, I think, along with it. So that's my professional highlight.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Alice.
Hello.
I mean, personal highlight must be, and same Kate really, just joining the team.
Absolutely.
This year.
Bring the newbie on.
Personal and running professional world highlights?
Well, like Jen, I also did a 70.3 this summer, so I did think about, oh, was it that half marathon at the end of that after doing a 90K on the bike? But actually, it was such a slog. I found it so hard. There was, I think, more walking than there was running, and it was in France. It was hot. It was horrible. It took a lot of mental strength to actually will my body to get over the finish line. So actually, I'm going to park that. It's not that one. And instead, I'm going to say my most memorable run this year was a local 8K loop around Bushy Park. It's an area I've just moved to recently, and it was rutting season. I don't know if any of you have witnessed rutting season before, but it's when the deers go absolutely bonkers. And they're clashing antlers and they're so loud. And I was just running around and I was thinking, what on earth is going on? And to top it all off, the sun was setting. It was a beautiful, gorgeous evening. It was quite mild. And I got to the Diana Fountain, which is the middle of Bushy Park. And the sky was just burnt oranges and bubblegum pinks. And it was honestly beautiful. It was one of those, I've got to stop my watch. I've got to take a picture. I need to take this in. And actually, it just made me feel really thankful to have the time to go outside and escape at the end of the day and enjoy the sunset. So that, I think, for me was my personal highlight. And then professional, I wrote down when Eilish won gold at the 10,000 metres at the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham this summer, obviously following in her mother's footsteps. And it was her first major title. It was actually her fourth Commonwealth Games, and she's previously come sixth every time. So this is her first gold, so it was a real kudos moment for her. But what really got me was when she crossed the line and she ran up into the stands and she hugged her mum. And I'm a pretty emotional person anyway, but to see the tears and to see how much it really meant, not just for her, but for her mother too.
Yeah.
Oh, I was bawling my eyes out. So that for me, I think I was like, wow, yeah, I was really rooting for her. So I think that was the most special and the thing I'll remember the most.
That was a good one.
That was great, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That sort of, because also like, just the sort of the story behind both of their achievements was sort of the struggle with the mum, and then, and you know, she's heralded as this sort of like great talent, and it's sort of like the pressure and the sixth, as you say, like the fourth Commonwealth Games and all the performances that haven't been up to scratch, and it's just like it all kind of just met at that one moment of just being like, oh, good, it happened.
Yeah, I think you could just see how much it also meant for Liz, for her mum as well. It was, you know, she'd won that race 32 years beforehand, and I mean, yeah, it was, yeah, very emotional.
Yeah. Next up, Andy.
Thank you. My personal highlight would be, it's like others, I guess, is returning to racing in the summer after 2 years out because of lockdown, etc. And that was the 6D marathon in the Alps in France. And I mean, in many ways, one of the toughest races I've ever done. But I mean, absolutely stunning parts of it. You know, running up a bobsleigh track was kind of a you know, particularly kind of memorable part in the first half, but the whole thing was just stunning, really hard. My toes, like five six months on, still haven't recovered. I'm hoping that they'll be in good shape for sandal season in spring, but I doubt it. But it was just great to be back involved and surrounded by fellow runners, you know, in a kind of I didn't feel like I was particularly qualified to be there because everyone else had trekking poles. I felt like a bit of an interloper, but I blundered my way through, and by the end I was stumbling like a drunkard because my quads had lost all control. But after the race, it was just like, my god, that was absolutely epic. So it was a really nice way to return to running after so long out.
I reckon everyone who saw you without poles were like, whoa, this guy.
Wow. He's hardcore.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. Who the hell is this guy?
He doesn't need poles. Yeah. His quad's doing it all. Well, I suffered for that. And the wider world of running, I'm going to go to the Berlin Marathon, but I'm going to select Bottle Klaus. A bit of an unsung hero, one of many unsung heroes. I guess, you know, you see the kind of headline performance of Kipchoge, and rightly everyone pays their due and reverence to that amazing performance. But I guess what I liked about this story is it kind of brought out the kind of, the in quotes, backroom staff, the kind of army of volunteers, the army of, because he is a volunteer. So this is the guy who's kind of giving Kipchoge his bottle of carb drink every station, and what I liked about it is that he's kind of developed it into a real craft. You know, he practices with, you know, a tulip in a vase to get the handover just right. When he sees Kipchoge approaching, he's like, it's about eye contact, and I shout him because he's in a tunnel. And then once he's got a clean handover done, he jumps on his bike and has to absolutely dash 5K.
His celebration of a successful bottle changeover is like, yeah! Full fist pump in the air, like, yeah, jumps up and down, and then the grabbing of the bike is
he has to really go fast between stations. And I thought it was a really nice story from that amazing race.
Yeah, definitely. You kind of got I mean, obviously, it's the athlete who's doing the hard work at that particular moment and for the race, but the back behind the scenes stuff was really like, you do see that. Like, he wouldn't be able to do that without this one slightly eccentric man on a bike.
Indeed. Well, Kipchoge's said he calls him his hero. So, yeah. I mean, he recognises the importance of what he does for him. So, yeah. That's really nice as well.
That is good. Ben, tell us about your highlights.
Right, okay. I mean, it's like an echo chamber in here. I'm going to just say I think it was kind of the year where I was running pain-free, which was very nice. That hasn't happened for a while. There's always been a little bit of something in the background which I've had to ignore or kind of like get work around. So a bit more of that. And then I would just, going out, being able then to just go and run more and run further and explore like the forest near where I live and have time to do all that and like just appreciate outside. Which has been very much it, and a sort of that. I would say that first pint after the half marathon, going back to racing.
I like the fourth one.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was delicious. That one was very good. But the first one was also.
The first one was good. Yeah.
And it was that all those sort of feelings that came back again, and it was all the sensations. It was the you'd finish the race and you're very tired and everything sort of hurts a little bit, and then you walk somewhere that isn't quite open yet, so you hang around and everything's getting a bit crusty because it's like, you know, the sweat's drying out, and it was kind of, and it, you know, you kind of got those all. It's not just the end of the race; it's kind of like they were familiar sensations, but you hadn't felt them for a while. So it's that sort of getting a little chilly because you've cooling down and you've sat down for a bit too long, and you stand up and it's a bit achy, but you need the loo, and it's like it was all those little. It wasn't just the race; it was the sort of like the little tiny. Yeah. Bits afterwards, and I was just like, oh yes, it's those little things, not packing enough things, because I was like, don't need a race bag on.
You went bag free, didn't you?
Yeah. Went bag free, which meant I just then sat there going, God, I'm actually freezing now. So there was that was kind of my personal stuff, just kind of like re-immersing back into that world of running, also reminding myself how hard racing is, which is just the biggest, not the biggest shock, but the greatest, sort of like, oh yeah, this really sucks when you're not fit. I think, like, wider world of running, I kind of feel like the bit of running that kind of piqued my interest was stuff like people, not like the growth of the FKT kind of stuff. I know that sort of happened for ages, but kind of just seems more and more like people are taking on these challenges and like these setting these fastest known times and just kind of really enjoying seeing people do that, because it's kind of like it's that amateurish,
yeah, DIY
yeah. Kind of like going to go and try this thing out, and like, and I kind of like that a lot. Like, I kind of like seeing people doing mad distances off their own, you know, under their own steam, and kind of like sort of little subgenre of running that's kind of like people going, "Oh, he's done that in that time. Interesting," you know. And they're like, "Oh yeah, that is really fun. I quite like that side of it." Yeah. So that's my kind of maybe me discovering more of that this year. And then sort of like looking at routes that people do. I like routes. So I was just looking at like the maps and going, oh yeah, good route. Yeah, that's fun.
Great route.
Yeah. That was it.
Should we do a quick Christmas quiz?
Yes.
Jen, you might have to go and share the mic with Ben.
Okay.
So we'll finish with a Christmas quiz. 8 questions, all themed around running that's happened in 2022. Play along at home. Question 1. What takes longer, the time for Eliud Kipchoge to complete this year's Berlin Marathon, or the time it takes to cook a 2.5-kilogram chicken in the oven?
How are we alerting like that we're going to be the ones answering?
Anyone can answer. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you can buzz in.
What's quicker?
What's quicker?
Kipchoge.
It's actually the chicken.
Oh, man.
Apparently, chicken's got 120 minutes and Kipchoge's 121. So it's a close run thing.
You could set a timer to him.
You could set a timer to him.
When does the chicken need to go in? When does he start raining? You know, like, when
exactly.
does he start?
Wait, is this the undiscovered secret of Kipchoge's speed? He's always got a chicken in the oven.
Got to get home.
Got to get home. Yeah. Yeah. Five, and on your marks. Oh, my God, the chicken.
Kilian Jornet became the first person to do what at the UTMB this year? Was it win the race without using trekking poles, finish in less than 20 hours, or complete the race without feeling the need to write a blog about it?
Definitely not the latter.
Not the last one.
20 hours, it was sub 20.
First person to do sub 20 hours. Question three, how many national or European records did Ailish McColgan break in 2022?
Come on, Alice.
Is it two, three, or four?
Three.
How many national or European records?
Three.
You're going three?
I'm going two.
I've got three down here.
It's... Oh, no, I'm going to have to try and remember what they are. 5K, 10K, British, both British, and then European.
There's a European for... I should have written this down, shouldn't I? This is why this quiz isn't so good, yeah. But I'm pretty sure it's three.
Okay. Let's go with three.
Let's go with three. According to Strava's Year in Sport statistics, how much further are women likely to run when running in groups as opposed to solo? Is it 5%, 10%, or 40%?
Oh, so say the options again.
5%, 10%, or 40%?
I wrote this piece. I still can't remember.
Is it 10%?
I feel
it's 10%. Yeah, 10%. Yay. 10% further. How many laps of the notorious Barclay Marathons did Jasmine Paris complete this year? Was it one, three, or five?
She completed the fun run, didn't she?
The fun run. So what is the fun run?
I can't remember how many laps that is.
I think it's three.
It is three. Yeah, yeah, it's three. I think she might be going back in 2023 to try to do the whole thing. Okay, moving on. Another great athlete. Andy Dixon won a bottle of champagne at an ultramarathon in November in recognition of being what? Was it the overall winner, the fastest OAP, or the best-looking competitor?
Surely all three.
lovely stuff.
What was it? Was it?
Come on, you've got to answer.
It was, oh, right, I've got to answer. It was first oldie.
First oldie.
So V50.
Based on his, OAP.
Depressing.
Based on his new 24-hour world record, how far could Alexander Sorokin run in a day? Is it the equivalent of London to Manchester, London to Edinburgh, or London to Dover?
Dover. Oh, no, Manchester's like 200 miles. It's that, isn't it? Right, yeah.
It's 200 miles. Yeah, it's
the map guy here.
It's London to Manchester. So that's 200 miles. London to Edinburgh is 400 miles, and London to Dover is only 80.
Yeah.
So there you go. Right, final one. Sinead Diver broke the Australian marathon record earlier this month, running a time of 2:21:34. But how old was she at the time? Was it 40, 45, or 48?
I'll let Kate go.
45. There's hope for us yet, Ben.
She's my hero.
Don't know.
That's the end of this quiz. Thanks very much for playing. There's absolutely no prize, although there is some Carlsbergs in the corner if anyone wants to go and take that.
They're warm.
So that brings us to the end of this week's One As Well podcast. Thanks very much to listening to our 200th episode in the company of all the One As Well team.
Incredible.
And we'll see you again in 2023.
Yeah. Subscribe to everything. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming on.
That's it. Thanks, team.
You're welcome.
And Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas as well.
Merry Christmas. Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, and that one as well.
Happy New Year as well, yeah. Yeah.
We don't know when this is coming out. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.